Let's stand and turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. We're in Ephesians 3 today, verses 14 to 21. We're going to read verses 14 to 21, covering verses 16 to 21, because we went over 14 and 15 last week. You know, as we prayed, Paul prays for spiritual help, and, you know, the whole idea is for us as a church to share the love of God through our life. We've been to 4 graduations this past month because of the number of grandchildren that we have. 2 college and 2 high school. And twice I've heard this, and I believe Francis of Assisi is the one that penned it. I don't know it exactly, but it goes something like this, that continue to preach the gospel and share God's love, and when needed, we use words. Do you understand what he was saying? When needed, use words. We share, we preach by our life. Only when needed do we use words. People should know we love Christ, that we follow the Lord, that we live according to his word. I thought that was pretty neat. So I will read the even-numbered verses starting at verse 14. And ask you to read the odd-numbered verses as we go through verse 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named,
that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man.
That Christ
may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height.
To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen, Lord. Thank you for your word. Speak to us now and open our ears and eyes and heart, and don't let us wander in our thoughts, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Last time we covered verses 14 to 16, part of 16. And as we studied last time, this begins Paul's second prayer to the Ephesian church. His first prayer was in chapter 1, verse 16 on. Read it, and read this one. There's a common thread. In verse 14, we see his posture and his praying for these people. Now, he's not praying for himself. He's praying for the Ephesian church. And he really has a heart for other people. And when you do, you pray for them. And we see his posture in prayer in verse 14. We went over, he bows his knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we bow our hearts before God when we pray. Prayer isn't a passing thing. It's a time of meditation upon the Lord. And we pray sincerely and close everything else out. The enemy's right there trying to distract you. God, please help me. Oh, yeah, what are we going to do for lunch? And then you get back to it. Bow your heart before the Lord. And we went over that. We have correct posture when we pray. And he prays, as we saw it, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We always pray to the Father through Jesus, who gives us access to the Father at any time. He never sleeps. Isn't that awesome? Maybe you're up at 2 o'clock this morning. God heard you. He never sleeps or slumbers, and he answers. We have an audience at any time. Today we celebrate Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all you fathers. It's a serious, responsible job. And we pray and pray and pray. And people say, what do I do after that? Pray and pray some more. But we have a father, Christian, a father in heaven that we sang about, a good, good father. And we're to celebrate him today and worship him and thank our good, good Father in heaven, because we are his kids. And he loves us. And everything we do is only through him. You can only be a father through him, a mother through him, through his strength. It's impossible to do it on your own. And we need to understand that. He's the giver of good things. And when we think of good things, it isn't material and physical always. You see, and that's what this prayer is about. We need to know that God will take care of us and do what's best. We need to know that in our heart. Sometimes we pray, get up off of our knees or where we are and go on with our life, back into the trial. We need to know that he hears us and he's going to answer. And we aren't going to rush him. And he's not going to be late. He's going to do the best thing right on time. Luke 11, please. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Know this. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Dad, I'm hungry. Could I have some bread? No, chew on this stone, son. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, of course, this is ridiculous. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Hey, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, good means good for them, how much more our Father in heaven? So we take it and we place our children in God's hands and trust him and pray. As we get into Paul's prayer, as we studied last time, it's a prayer for spiritual well-being. That's the message today, spiritual well-being, part two. Maybe we'll get through it. I don't know. It might be part three next week, because last time it was going to be all the way, but it wasn't. But it's a spiritual prayer. Paul prays for spiritual things. Read the first one in Ephesians chapter 1. It's a prayer for spiritual well-being. Why? Because that's most important for people. You know, like Jesus said, or the Bible says, what would it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? So why pray for things that you're going to lose anyway? We pray for people's spiritual well-being. That's most important. And I look back at my prayer life and I say, wow. A lot of times I wasn't in the right place praying for the right thing. I'm more concerned about get them a job or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or more money or the right school. That isn't it. It's their spiritual well-being. Then if you're in the fire, you'll still be victorious. And I don't care how smart or how dumb you are. You will be victorious. You will be a success because you have the Lord. And we need to pray for spiritual well-being for ourselves and for those we love, and for our enemies, for unbelievers. Now, if you had a choice, one choice, would you rather be well and strong spiritually or physically? That's an easy one. Spiritually. That's where it counts. That's where it counts. The church at Ephesus, man, they came out of a very pagan place. Sexual immorality, idolatry. They've become Christians, a lot of these people, through hearing the gospel. The church and Christians everywhere, at Ephesus, in this country today, 2,000 years later, in the world, in your city, in your family, in your home, in the workplace, people need spiritual strength, well-being. They need to be surrounded with the Lord. I need to be surrounded with the Lord. If you want to know what to pray for me and my wife, spiritual well-being. keep us from attack of the enemy. Strong in the Lord. Strong in the Word of God and prayer. Walking in the Spirit. Free from temptation. So often we pray for things material, physical, personal. We went over that last week. That's okay. Jesus prayed to be delivered from this tragedy he was going to go through on the cross. Other people have prayed for other things we see in the Bible, but not as important as praying for the spiritual. Because that's where lives are led. You're either going to give in to the enemy or to God. There's only two choices in life. There's only two kinds of people in life, believers and unbelievers. Make believers don't count as believers. J. Vernon McGee said there's three, believers, unbelievers, and make believers. And they don't count. It's just believers or unbelievers. And so often we pray for things for people that if they receive those answers, how do we know that's going to be good for them? We don't know that. Only God does. God knows what's best for us, and what's best for us is to have the Lord reigning in our heart. When I have the Lord in my life, and I do, then I can live this life and get through. Tribulation, fire, blessings, joy, all kinds of things, rain, floods, wind, but we stand, don't we? Here we are today. We stand. There's those not here today that have chosen not to stand. It's because of where they are spiritually. Not because they didn't have that or had that or missed this or had that. It's not because of any of those things. It's simply having the Lord in your life as Lord and Master or not. It's all spiritual. We'll know that when we get to heaven. We're going to say, wow, there's only two places, heaven and hell. Am I glad I'm in heaven? Because eternity is a long time. It's very, very long. And if you're not in the right place, no matter what you did here counts. Only what you did with Jesus. And that's why Paul is so firm in his faith and in his prayer life for spiritual things. That's how he was able to be beaten with rods, stripped, cast into the innermost dungeon, and praise the Lord at midnight. Not because he had a great ministry or he was physically fit because he went to the gym 7 days a week or because he had money. It wasn't because of that. It was because he was strong spiritually. He was able to withstand the attack. That's where we want to be. That's where we want our family to be. Walking with the Lord, strong, involved in their faith, sharing their faith. You see, we need to pray as Paul prays. That rebellious person in your home, we went over this last time, that unbeliever that you might be living with, that person in your family or the workplace or your church, even in your church, or that person that's going through trouble, that neighbor that you know, they need the Lord. And sometimes we start thinking, but if only they had this, or if only they had that, maybe it would help them. You know what helped me and changed my life? Giving my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Once you do that, life changes, doesn't it? Because the Lord changes you from the inside. So we can go home today at peace knowing, hey, I can do something about that person or that thing through my prayers, but my prayers have to take a spiritual tone. Then you'll be at peace because you'll know you've literally put them in God's hand. It's like taking them and, God, open their eyes that they might see. Give them faith to believe. Protect them from harm. Grow them. Maybe they're a weak Christian and they need to have growth. Pray for that. See, but the answer is, you know, I've talked to many people over the years, and they say, well, you know, if only they got this or got that, or if this, or they heard this message or this or that. And there's a thousand things people say that if only, then they would change. No, they wouldn't. No one could change me. Only Jesus. No one could change me until I gave my life to the Lord and started following him. Because you're born again. Isn't that wonderful? You get a new father in heaven. Who can beat that? And John 1, it tells us, to them who believe, he gave the right to become children of God. You're a child of God. We're brothers and sisters. Sometimes I'll call my wife sister. I say, isn't that weird? You're my sister? But she is. We're one in Christ. We're one family. And Ephesians is going to get into that. One body, one Father, one Lord. It's a great book of trying to unify believers. And it starts with Paul praying twice spiritually for them, because that's where the unity is going to come. What if our country, our leaders, decided just to have one massive prayer meeting for weeks on end until change happens? Do you think that would be better than trying to pass legislation? Of course it would. We know that. Yet we so ignore that sometimes and get into the worldly, fleshly thinking. The answer is the Lord. But they don't know the Lord. Then pray. And ask others to pray. Live it out before them. Be the example. Pray for their strength. For their protection while they're out there on their own. That their eyes will be open, that they'll see. So that's our answer. And so often we put Band-Aids. We're looking for Band-Aids when a person really needs a heart transplant or heart surgery spiritually. That's the answer. They don't need Band-Aids all over. Well, I'll give them this, I'll give them that, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll patch up this hole and pay this debt off for them. That's going to do it, and do all these other things. That isn't going to do it. The Lord is going to do it. Why? So he gets the glory. So they end up with a personal relationship with God. It's sad, isn't it? Don't you wish you could shove people into the kingdom of God? You parents do. You wish you could take a person. You're a Christian, whether you like it or not, and I'll beat you over the head and keep you there. Can't do it. We may try. But I'm going to put tracts in his lunch, my husband's lunch, every day. I'm going to put a post-it in there with a piece of scripture. I'm going to put magnets on the refrigerator. And I'm going to turn K-Wave on the radio. And I'm going to do all this. And man, this guy is going to get saved. And the Lord says, oh, brother, just pray and live it out. And hand it over to me. Hand him over to me. Have you ever said, I trust in the Lord? And tomorrow you make a phone call or do something? Trust in the Lord means it is out of my hands. But the good news is you have a good, good Father in heaven. And nothing is impossible for him. Well, if this guy gets saved, I know the Lord's coming back quick because that guy is a total loss. Well, good, then the Lord's coming back quick. Maybe he's the last one, as we went over Wednesday night. The Antichrist will only rule after the church is taken out of the way. And the church won't be taken out of the way in the rapture until the last person receives Christ. That means the bride is complete, and we are the bride of Christ. It's a matter of numbers now, this age of grace. When you have a wedding, I don't care who's ready. If the bride isn't, that wedding doesn't start. Till that bride is ready and ready to walk down the aisle. That's the way we are with the bride of Christ. That bride is not ready until that person, and that could be the person you're praying for. And then we go to be with the Lord. But know that God is good and powerful and loving, and if you ask for a piece of bread, he's not going to give you a stone. We need to focus on the real issue of life, our spiritual life. You know, and in order to go through the fire, anybody here today going through the fire? In order to get through the fire, and sometimes it is required. It's a refining process. There's dross in us. Well, I'm a perfect guy. What do I need? No, there's stuff in here that needs to be gone. And it only goes through the furnace. We don't need an asbestos suit. We need the armor of God. We don't need any worldly help. We need the Lord and His Word. The children, Daniel's friends, went through the furnace, didn't they? They says, we don't care if you throw us in the fire. Our God is able to deliver us. See, they had a firm foundation. They were in a position where God could use them to show this king His power, who later on declared Him. But just not anybody could have been thrown into that furnace. Only those that were prepared and strong in the Lord. Because He knew they would be willing to go through it. And they came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. Because there was the fourth in there with them that looked like the Son of God. And you know, we've gone over this, the only thing that disappeared or they lost when they came out were the cords that bound them. Everything else was fine. We need to go through the fire. But how do you think we're going to go through the fire, or someone else that we're watching is going to get through it, unless they're covered spiritually, steadfast, immovable, on the right foundation? That's where it starts. Christians, we need to know that God is with us and He has a plan. And we need Him to achieve that plan. We have our own plans, but many times in the Proverbs it tells us He has His and He brings it to pass. So we ask for His plan. And as we do and we keep our eyes on Him, we'll enter into perfect peace. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Let's all read this out loud. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Do you realize what he's saying here? He promises us that he will keep us in perfect peace. I don't know about you, but I love peace. When you get home, back in your house, after doing something or traveling, and you sit on your couch or go in your bed, it's like, perfect peace. But then the next day starts. But there's this perfect peace. We can have that always. Some people think you have to die to have peace. That's the way they put on tombstones. Rest in peace. You don't have to wait till you die. It says right here, you will keep him in perfect peace. Who? Whose mind is stayed on you. That's not enough. That's the first part. My mind is always on the Lord and my Father, and he's strong and he's going to help me. The last part is because he trusts in you. My mind can be on God and still not trust him. Oh, I'm praying, I'm worshiping, I'm thinking on the Lord. Do you trust him? Do I trust him? Well, yeah, but not in this situation right now. This is real. God, you don't know. This is real. Nobody else is going through this. No, we can trust him in every situation. Why am I not having peace? Is your mind on God? In fellowship, prayer, worship? Yes. Do you trust him? I think so. No, we trust him. Trust him. You know what trust him means? It means that when I'm going over something, going through something, I don't go over it. It's a done deal. It's in God's hands. I trust him, and he'll keep me in perfect peace. Now you're saying, boy, that's easy for you to say you're a pastor. Well, I have these same problems. I go through the same thing. That's why I can talk to you. I have experience in not trusting the Lord. And when I trust the Lord, I'm in perfect peace. We need prayer. How do we achieve this? Prayer. For ourselves and for others that are going through it. And as a matter of fact, we need to pray for all Christians, as we shared last time. I think we forget to pray for the people in the church. We think they're okay. Hey, they got their life together. They look pretty happy. Everybody needs prayer. Paul prays for this whole church. And you're going to see what the prayer is. And I can tell you right now, it's going to be a part three. Because we even haven't got into one verse yet. That's what happened 2 weeks ago. But this is so important, I'm not going to rush it. Because it's helping me. So I know it's helping you. You see, we need prayer for ourselves and others to have wisdom, strengthen the Lord, keep our minds and hearts on the Lord, and to totally trust him. Yeah, but I'm getting older and time is going by. Is God going to answer me? Get rid of your watch, your phone. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Look at Job. God took everything away, including his family. And what did he say? Blessed, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If he didn't have spiritual insight and spiritual well-being, Job wouldn't have got through it. You know what it tells us in chapter 1 about Job? You know, he was the most righteous guy living. He and God were friends. They were close. He wouldn't have got through it. Unless he was that way, before the trial. You know, some people think they can turn on their faith when the fire and the storm hits. That's not the way it works. You're not going to stand. We've got to be equipped before the storm comes. Not when it comes. We're prepared before. Prayer, worship, study, fellowship, eyes on the Lord, trusting in the Lord, praying. Job said, he gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you know how hard that is to say, blessed be the name of the Lord? When it's preceded by, he took my kids. I lost all my well-being. And he goes, he could go on and on. That's hard. Without some little ill feeling in your heart or mind to be able to say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can't do that. I can't do that unless I'm prepared to do that. I'm well spiritually. We must have a prayer life which is spiritual in nature, not just physical and material. It's not this or that, or the answer isn't something else for others. It's more of Jesus in our life. As John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. We all need more of the Lord in our life. Our Father in heaven loves us. There can't be a greater love than our Father in heaven for his children. He sent his Son to show us that. There's no greater love. Ought we not to love him back the same way? How can we put trivial, worldly, fleshly things first at times? How can we do that? We don't understand the love of God. Paul, you know why Paul preached? He says, the love of Christ constrains me. I have to do this because I love him. Everything we do should be from the love of God. That's our constraining force. Satan is seeking to devour people. Maybe today your desire is to be closer to the Lord. Deeper in love with Jesus. To have a strong faith. To really know God. Maybe you really want to trust him more. Well, ask God for those things. Today, tonight, just ask him. And ask others to pray for you for that. Get to the real bottom line. What's really necessary for you and me? I've got to be close to the Lord. I need strength. It doesn't mean the fire is going to disappear, the trial is going to go away, or the person's going to change. But it does mean that you and I will get through it with peace. Ask God. Pray for spiritual growth. You know, they have these growth hormones to build up your body. You know, you see somebody you knew 5 years ago, they were a scrawny little being. You see them now walking at the beach, barely buffed out. You know, they're taking growth hormones. You know what the spiritual growth hormone is? Jesus. More of him. Pray for that in your life. When a person is well spiritually, one can really sing, "All is well with my soul." You know that song? All is well with my soul. You can only sing that and mean it when you're spiritually well. When all is well with the Lord. And just get a little further. We're going to look at the beginning of Paul's prayer here, verse 16. He prays that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. We went over that last week. So he's praying not according to what Paul can do for them, because I'm praying for what God can do for you according to his riches and glory. I'm not rich. If you have a financial need, I can't help you, but God can. I'm not a doctor. If you're sick, I can't help you, but God can. So he's praying here. You know, there's things we can't do. And we can't change people. And we try, and it doesn't work, and we stress out. And he's saying, I'm praying that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Not me, but, and how rich is God? How powerful is God? He created the universe. But do you really know and trust in God? So he's praying according to what God can do, and his first prayer request is that he would grant you to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That you're spiritually well. Because I'm praying to God, because you're new Christians and you are going to be tempted, you're going to be attacked, and I can't be there babysitting you. You're on your own with the Lord now. So I'm praying that God would strengthen you with spiritual might through his spirit in the inner man inside, so that I can be at peace knowing you're going to be okay there. You'll be okay because the Lord is guiding your life, and I know you're not going to fall. The prayer number one, and there's four of these, is for spiritual power. And it's not to do mighty works or miracles, because he states he wants that to be in the inner man. In the inner man, to be strengthened inside in order to stand. See, this enables us to live the Christian life. You know, I think we need to pray for new Christians too, or young people, because there's a lot of temptation out there. There's a lot of trouble. There's a lot to pull people away from the Lord. And Paul knows that they came out of a very godless society here. He knows they need to be strengthened inside, not just an emotional or mental decision, but this has to be in the inner man. And even once they receive Christ, they need to grow. He's praying for spiritual growth. He says they have to grow inside and through his spirit and the inner man. See, this enables us to live the Christian life, this type of a prayer. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit at time of salvation. And he is the evidence of our being born again. We're different people. But then we need to live the born again life. We can't just put people out there and say, okay, you're on your own. They need prayer support. Then you need to live the born again life. And we need the power, the strength of the Holy Spirit to do it. You can't live the Christian life on your own. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why a person that's not a Christian can't do it. They can't do it. They don't have the power to do it. Our flesh can't do this, to strengthen ourselves inside. Actually, our flesh gets in the way. We need to be strengthened with might in the inner man. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, and you have no strength and power to resist temptation. You just can't seem to do it. You have no strength to live the Christian life. Then pray this prayer for yourself. God, I want to be strengthened with might through your Spirit in my inner man. Or maybe you know a weak Christian. That's a good prayer for them. Today, decide to cover this person with prayer, with a spiritual prayer every day. And bombard them with prayer. Maybe you've been looking for the flesh to perform God's will in your life, and it hasn't worked. Well, walk in the Spirit, count on spiritual strength to go forward. Give up and say, God, just strengthen me inside. Help me through your Spirit. You see, be in the Word of God in prayer and keep your mind on the Lord. You know, as we get older, you know what happens? We grow old. I came up with that, believe it or not. As we get older, we grow old. And the body deteriorates. We don't want many mirrors around. Or maybe you want more around. But we in the body don't feel that great anymore as you get older. You know, like when you were young? We don't feel that as great anymore. As we age, as people age, many people get negative and cranky because of that condition. One gets easily depressed and down and sarcastic and negative. We cannot let that happen to our spirit. That's why we need to be strengthened in the inner man. We can't let that happen in the spirit. We should continue to grow spiritually until the Lord takes us home. You see, we should be becoming more like Jesus. That's what we should be doing. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, the inner man is being renewed and should be being renewed day by day. Are you a stronger Christian than you were 10 or 20 years ago? I hope so. Else you're not strengthening your inner man through God's Spirit. The body deteriorates, but the spirit, the inner man, should be getting renewed each day, stronger and stronger. Be in the Word of God in prayer, eyes on the Lord, not the flesh. Pray, worship, keep growing. Maybe our prayer today needs to be, Lord, help me to keep my hands off and my mouth shut and just trust in you. Maybe that's what it needs to be. Just start trusting in the Lord, in the inward man. Help me to shut my mouth and keep my hands out of the situation, Lord. And God will give us victory, because that's his will. We don't want to work things out in the flesh. I'm going to end with this verse, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isn't that awesome? Body gets weaker, inner man stronger. That's a great prayer for us that Paul, we just read the beginning of it, that you might be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. And that word, strengthened with might, the word means dunamis, miraculous dynamite power as a Christian. And pick up part 3 next week, God willing. Maybe we'll finish this prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word today. What a wonderful prayer as we go through it. Lord, I pray we all leave here focusing on the real issue, the spiritual. We want to be spiritually well because things aren't always going to happen according to what we want or plan. Troubles will come, rain will fall, wind will blow, but so will blessings come and joy and peace and love because you're greater than all these things that the enemy can throw at us. But Lord, in order to stand, give us the wisdom to know we have to count on your strength. Be strengthened in the inner man spiritually so that we can stand and intercede for others and pray for ourselves. Help us to do that, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.